To the fellowship. I think we'll get a mic here. Welcome to the fellowship again this morning. And that was a beautiful time of being able to share our voices together in song and honoring our Father. So I feel like this morning I have, we came through Thanksgiving and we had meals and food. And, there's always somebody that has served the food. And there's the provision of the food comes from God. And so when we have the food to be able to serve, I feel like this morning, I feel like what I have, God has prepared, and I am here to serve it to you this morning. So hopefully it'll be served in a way that you can receive it and that it's good to be received. It is good to be able to be in the fellowship of the body and to be able to worship together this morning again. And we have so much to be thankful for. We came through the day of Thanksgiving, which I think is a good day, but our lives should be a life of Thanksgiving. And Dave called us to that last Sunday as we looked at the Word and the Scriptures and how we are to live a life of Thanksgiving. Not just one day of the year we're thankful, and the rest we can gripe and murmur and complain all we want to. And The birth of this sermon, 2 weeks ago, I was, for some reason, I was of the mind that I was on to preach last Sunday, and so I started preparing a sermon, and as I was already into it a good bit, I realized that I had the wrong date, and Dave was on last Sunday, I was on this Sunday, and so I had started the sermon, and I titled the sermon, The Consequences of Murmuring. And I know Dave called us to, last Sunday called us to be people of thanksgiving and called us to live that way. And I, as Dave got up and started sharing last Sunday, I'm like, wow, I need to change my sermon. And so Monday morning, I set out to change the sermon, to change the direction of the sermon, to come up with another sermon to share this morning. And I experienced a real conflict with the Holy Spirit. I spent hours trying to come up with another sermon for this morning, and I just did not get released. And so I came back to this, and I look at it again, and I had a freedom to move forward with this sermon. And so I believe for whatever reason, God wants to share with us this morning and wants us to understand this Thanksgiving season that we are to be people, if we are people of God, then we need to be people that don't murmur and complain. When I was doing service work at Byler's, I got out in the field a lot and did a lot of troubleshooting, that kind of thing, and there was a curtain unit that was made for hog barns where there was a thermostat connected to the curtains that are on the side of a hog barn. There was a thermostat that was connected to them that would, if the temperature got too high, it would open. If it was too cold, it would close, that kind of thing. Well, I had the privilege of working on these here curtain units, the controls for the curtain units, which were right in the hog barn. So I would walk into the hog barn, I'd step over the gate, and I'd walk right in with the hogs, and they were chewing around on I wore those tingly boots, you slip over your shoes, and they'd be chewing around on them, and you'd shoo them away. They'd come back, and one thing I discovered is that a hot shot does a good job of keeping them at bay. Just tap one of them on the nose, and they squeal violently like they're being killed, and they're not really, but they squeal violently, and then they stay away. So anyway, long story short, what happened was these were very unsanitary pig barns, and I would come home in the evening smelling like a hog, stinking. And I thought about this whole thing of murmuring and complaining. Does the environment that you hang out in leave a stench on you? Does the environment that you hang out in leave a stench on you? Are you able to hang around with complaining, whining, belly aching people and it not affect you? And I thought about the consequences of murmuring, and I use the word murmuring as a in in place of complaining, because the King James Bible uses the word murmuring, and the New King James uses complaining. I'm going to read just a couple of verses, and you can turn to 1 Corinthians 10, and then we'll be moving into Numbers 11. But just to read a couple of verses to you to set the stage for what I believe God has for us here this morning. It appears like Paul is addressing the Corinthian church has become somewhat proud. They thought they were standing, and they're entering into this here this evil activities that Paul calls out. And I'm going to start reading in verse 6. Is 1 Corinthians 10, 6 is verses 6 through 12. Now these things became examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. He talked in the beginning of that chapter how that they came through the Red Sea and into the wilderness and all that, but not all of them made it into the promised land. And in verse 6, then he says that they're not supposed to lust after evil things as they also lusted, the children of Israel. And do not become idolaters as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. Let us commit sexual immorality as some of them did, and in one day 23,000 fell. Nor let us tempt Christ as some of them also tempted and were destroyed by serpents. Nor complain, or the King James says murmur, as some of them also complained or murmured and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now all these things happen to them as examples, that they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the age have come. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. And I'm going to be focusing, verse 10 is what drew me to this scripture. Nor complain, as some of them also complained and were destroyed by the destroyer. The consequences of murmuring, I believe, are huge. And we don't understand it all. But I believe that all of us here this morning, at one time or another, have been guilty of entering into a complaining and a murmuring attitude. And I believe that God has something to say about it. We live in a self-absorbed culture, and it's caused a generation of complaining Christians. We all stand guilty from time to time. We get so caught up in the temporal that we miss the eternal. We get so caught up in what is happening to us temporarily in this life that we miss the eternal life. And we start to grumble and mutter and complain. It's been said sometimes the only exercise we get is jumping to conclusions, flying off the handle, running down our leaders, sidestepping responsibility, and pushing our luck. And I know you probably heard a different version of that already, but maybe sometimes we get too much exercise in complaining and murmuring. And forgetting to give God the glory, forgetting what all we have to be thankful for. And so I believe that God is calling us this morning. This is not new, but I believe that God wants us to understand the seriousness of murmuring. Have you ever met an ungrateful person, murmuring person? They're not attractive. They're not the kind of a people. They're not the kind of people that attract you, unless they're ministering to some kind of murmuring heart of your own. If you find yourself in the company of such a person, you'll soon look for someone else to talk to. If you just find that the persons that are murmuring or complaining or whining, belly aching, are you that person? Are you that person that when somebody is talking to you, they're looking for somebody else to talk to? Are you speaking words of life? Are you speaking words of life that the people that you're talking to, that it rubs off on them? That they smell like life? That they look like life? Because they have been around you. They've experienced you. You know, the best way to throw a cup of cold water on somebody's murmuring and complaining is to speak a word of life and truth. If you're in a situation where you find yourself with someone who's just murmuring and complaining and whining, speak a word of life and see what happens. You know, some mornings I can come to Byler's fixing to be all grumpy, you know, and somebody's just cheerful, whistling and talking positive things and stuff, and it just ruins it. I can't be grumpy. You know what I'm saying? Those are the people that you want to hang out with. We've all done it. We've all mumbled. We've shouted complaints and accusations at times in our life, right? Whether it's someone that slighted us, or more mundane complaints about thickening traffic, bad traffic, things are just horrific. We left here, we had a dinner invitation last Sunday, so we didn't stay for the fellowship meal, and we left here and went up through Ephrata, up to Brickerville. I admit, I muttered and complained a little bit. It took us 20 minutes to get from here to Ephrata, to Walmart, to begin with. Just a little, that maybe not, it might have been, that, you know, just a little murmuring, just a little bit of that. Somebody quoted this, some person's caterwaul, and bellyache day in and day out almost every time they see you. And I thought this, I looked up this word caterwaul. What is caterwauling? The definition of it is, do you ever hear two tomcats sitting next to each other and they're making that howling, ungodly sound? That's caterwauling. Some people just whine and caterwaul and complain and gripe, and it's all that comes out of their mouth. It's all you hear when you're around them. And we all know happy people. And we all know that happy people complain once in a while. But did you ever find or hear of a complaining, whining person that is happy? Happy people complain sometimes, but did you ever hear about it? Did you ever meet a complaining, whining person that's happy? Another quote I have from Dennis King, as a Baptist preacher. Refusing to be satisfied with our lives as presented by God and stirring others up with our dissatisfaction is offensive because our God is a loving God. He is the Father of all. He provides for our needs and hears our prayers. Negative conversations create a culture of discontent that seeps into the psyche of those within hearing range. It can depress other people and turn them away from Jesus and send them searching false idols. End quote. It does nothing for the people you are trying to minister to. At your workplace, the people who are observing you, if you are a complaining, whining person, it will not lead them to Christ. Complaining is a serious, detrimental act. It's also unpleasant to hear. If you have spent time around those people who habitually moan and whine, and teens or children who are constantly fretful, and older adults who can never find anything satisfactory, if so, then you know how exhausting it can be to be around a person like that. We need to keep our positive energy and willpower flowing for all the good works God calls us to accomplish, because complaining diminishes our testimony, our faith, and our own persona. Satan and his demons, they sow the seeds of discontent. Satan and his demons, they sow the seeds of discontent. Because we all have the opportunity to be thankful. And I may have said it here before, but I was convicted here not too long ago about how I pray and how I talk to God, how I interact with God. And so many times in Scripture, we are called to pray with thanksgiving. We are called to pray with thanksgiving. We are called to be positive with God, to be thankful. to be grateful. Satan and his demons. Often instead of voicing dissatisfaction, we should be expressing gratitude for our blessings. Instead of voicing dissatisfaction, we should be expressing gratitude for our blessings. Do you ever think about it? Often our whining, our gripes, and our complaining come from a bit of an arrogant tone. Because we think we should have something different. We think it should be different than what it is. We think that God should have orchestrated it different than what he did. We think that whatever the situation is around us should be different. It's kind of like, I deserve better than this. And so I'm going to really whine and complain about it. The Bible says that complaining is sin. One loose definition of sin is to miss the mark. And that's what we do when we grumble and complain. We miss the mark. God wants a relationship with us based on faith and trust, a positive communication through our earthly lives. He wants our words to spill forth full of light and life. Are we doing that? Are we doing that for each other? Are we doing that for the world that we're living in? And you can turn with me to Numbers 11, and we're going to take a look at this scripture, and I'm not going to break this scripture down verse by verse, but we will take a look at what is being said in this particular passage of scripture. Numbers 11, verse 1. Now when the people complained or murmured, it displeased the Lord, for the Lord heard it, and his anger was aroused. So the fire of the Lord burned among them and consumed some in the outskirts of the camp. Wow. Let me read that verse again. Now when the people complained, it displeased who? The Lord. For what? For why? Why was he displeasing to him? Because he heard it. And his anger was aroused. And so the fire of the Lord burned among them and consumed some in the outskirts of the camp. And I'm here, the thing that jumps out to me in verse 1 is that God heard it. When I am murmuring, when I am whining and complaining and caterwauling, God hears it. God hears it. And after all he has done for me, after all he has given me, I whine, and I murmur, and I complain. You can murmur, and you can complain, and you can whine, but remember this, God hears. The other thing that jumps out is that it displeased the Lord. And that's what I want us to get this morning, is that our murmuring displeases God. Our murmuring displeases God. It's not just something that you do because it's not just something that's just kind of excused away because you're human and you murmur and you complain. I believe it's more serious than that. I believe God has called us to be grateful people, to be people of praise, to be people that lift up our voices. And going back to 1 Corinthians 10, let me read this again, entering in there, neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. They murmured and they were destroyed of the destroyer. What is murmuring? How serious is it? The Greek Old Testament and New Testament give several words that help us define what Paul is talking about. This word means to grumble, to be discontent, to complain, to criticize. And we could probably add whining to that, to this definition as well. And Paul's warning the Corinthians about it, and he's also warning us. So let me read the rest of the scripture. Let's just enter into the story as it's happening. Now when the people complained, it displeased the Lord, for the Lord heard it, and his anger was aroused. So the fire of the Lord burned among them and consumed some in the outskirts of the camp. Then the people cried out to Moses. And when Moses prayed, the fire was quenched. So he called the name of the place Taberah, because the fire of the Lord had burned among them. Now the mixed multitude who were among them yielded to intense craving. So the children of Israel also wept again and said, "Who will give us meat to eat?" They had just got done complaining and whining, and there was a fire that consumed them. I don't know what that was or what that looked like, but God was displeased with them. And then Moses interceded for them, and the fire stopped. And here they are again. "Who will give us meat to eat? We remember the fish which we ate freely in Egypt, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, and the garlic. But now our whole being is dried up. There is nothing at all except this manna before our eyes." And then it goes on to explain the manna a little bit. "Now the manna was like coriander seed, and its color like the color of bdellium. And the people went about and gathered it and ground it on millstones or pans and made cakes of it. And its taste was like the taste of pastry prepared with oil." I don't know. That's not too bad for a time or two. But this was every meal. Every meal. If you had spaghetti, just every meal, you think you'd still like spaghetti? You think you would whine or complain a little bit? I bet we would. "And when the dew fell on the camp in the night, the manna fell on it. And then Moses heard the people weeping throughout their families, everyone at the door of his tent. And the anger of the Lord was greatly aroused. Moses also was displeased. So Moses said to the Lord, 'Why have you afflicted your servant?'" And I'm going to skip over that. And then what happened was Moses called out, and God reached out to Moses and brought 70 other elders alongside of him to help with the work. And in verse 18, "Then you shall say to the people, 'Consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow you shall eat meat.'" They're whining and complaining that they didn't have any meat to eat, so he says that they are to consecrate themselves because that they would have meat the next day. "You have wept in the hearing of the Lord, saying, 'Who will give us meat to eat? For it is well with us in Egypt.' Therefore the Lord will give you meat, and you shall eat. And you shall eat not only one day, nor 2 days, nor 5 days, nor 10 days, nor 20 days, but for a whole month until it comes out of your nostrils." Was God mad? Absolutely. Eat meat until it comes out your nostrils. That's kind of gross, but that's what he said. You're going to eat meat until it comes out your nose. You're going to wish for spaghetti and become loathsome to you because you have despised the Lord who is among you and have wept before him, saying, 'Why did we ever come up out of Egypt?' And Moses said, 'The people who I am among are 600,000 men on foot, and you have said, I will give them meat and they may eat for a whole month. Shall the flocks and the herds be slaughtered for them to provide enough for them? Or shall all the fish of the sea be gathered together for them to provide enough for them?' And the Lord said to Moses, 'Has the Lord's arm been shortened? Now you shall see whether what I say will happen or not.'" And then jumping down to verse 31, "Now a wind went out from the Lord, and it brought quail from the sea and left them fluttering near the camp about a day's journey on this side and about a day's journey on the other side, all around the camp and about 2 cubits above the surface of the ground. And the people stayed up all that day, all night, and all the next day and gathered the quail. He who gathered the least gathered 10 homers. And that's a note here in the New King James. "And they'd spread them out for themselves all around the camp. But while the meat was still between their teeth, before it was chewed, the wrath of the Lord was aroused against the people, and the Lord struck the people with a very great plague." So he called the name of the place. And because of that, they buried the people who had yielded to the craving. And this was how God responded to their whining and complaining about the manna. And I was just struck again with how this here murmuring and complaining reaches the ears of God and how he's not pleased with it. He's not pleased with it. When we have so much, and yet we murmur and complain about what we have. My car isn't quite right. My house isn't quite right. My clothing aren't quite what I want. The people that I work for aren't quite as who they should be. The church that I go to isn't quite what it should be. We grumble and we complain and we gripe about it. One of the interesting aspects of this here behavior of grumbling and complaining is in the scripture, in the Old Testament and the New Testament, is not mentioned about ungodly people and unsaved people. It is always addressed to the people of God. It's always addressed to the people of God. And one of the other things that stands out is that Moses told the people that although they were murmuring against Moses, they started to murmur and complain against Moses and Aaron for leading them out of Egypt and then bringing them out of the wilderness to die. Wasn't there enough of graves there? Wasn't they, we had good food we could have eaten and all that stuff. And Moses told the people that although they had murmured against God's servants, the real problem was they were murmuring against God. And I wonder how often this comes true for us. That when we, if we would think about it, if we would understand that when I raise my voice in murmuring about the spouse that God has given me, if I raise my voice in murmuring and complaining about the job that I have, am I truly, or the church that I'm going to, am I truly raising my voice against God? If we believe that God orchestrates our lives and brings our lives into focus, into His focus, to what He wants us to be, then I believe when we raise our voices in murmuring and complaining, we are raising our voices against God. And that is sobering because of the consequences. We can't just dismiss this and say, well, I'm only human and nobody's perfect, or I've got a right to speak my mind. We can't excuse it. Exodus 16:8-9 also, Moses said, this shall be seen when the Lord gives you meat to eat in the evening and in the morning bread to the full. For the Lord hears your complaints which you make against him. And what are we, Moses is saying, are your complaints are not against us, but against the Lord. Then Moses spoke to Aaron, say to all the congregation of the children of Israel, come near before the Lord, for he has heard your complaints. If you believe that God orchestrates your life, and He does, when you whine and complain about it, murmur about it, you're complaining against God. Think about it. Criticism, whining, murmuring, what do you do about it? What do you do? If you find yourself caught up in it, what do we do with it? The Bible has some pretty radical thoughts that if your hand offends you, cut it off. If your eye offends you, pluck it out, kind of thing. And in light of that, John Wesley was a great English preacher of the 1700s. He was considered rather spiffy dresser. One Sunday morning, he wore a bow tie that with long ribbons that hung downward. After the sermon was over, a lady walked up to him and said, Brother Wesley, are you open to some criticism? He said, I guess so. What would you like to criticize? She said, the ribbons on your tie are entirely too long and inappropriate for a man of God. And she took out her scissors and she cut them off. A hush fell over the people that were standing there as Wesley calmly asked, now may I borrow the scissors for a moment? As she handed them to him, he said, ma'am, are you open to some criticism? She answered, well, I suppose I am. He said, all right, then please stick out your tongue. Are we willing to be radical enough to change what is offensive? Are we willing to be radical enough to change what is offensive? What is it that is causing me to murmur and to complain? It's a heart problem. It's something that's going on inside. It's called a murmuring heart. So what do you do to fix it? What do you do to change this here murmuring heart? And I'm just realizing I'm going to have to hurry along here. It's carnal. It's a carnal thing. Someone said you can take the Israelites out of Egypt, but you couldn't get Egypt out of the Israelites. And is that how it is with some of us? God has removed us from Egypt. He set us free. He sent His Son to die for us. He gave us life. He gave us food. He gave us health. He gave us clothing. He gave us all kinds of things. It may not be exactly what you wanted, but that's when we start to go back to Egypt and we whine and we complain and we murmur because it's not exactly what I wanted. We remember the fish, which we ate freely in Egypt, and the cucumbers and the melons, the leeks and the onions and the garlic. Wouldn't it be better to go back and not face some of the difficulty and the hardship of walking with the Lord? The other thing is it's contagious. And I want us to understand this. I want us to capture that when we murmur, it's contagious. And it talks about it here in the scripture. I'll just point out a couple of things here that complaining does. What must the unsaved think when they hear us complain? Is it possible that there will be people in hell because of what we have done? What must the new believer think when they hear us complaining? Are they attracted? Are they attracted to this walk with God? Are they attracted to a life of freedom? Or what do they hear from you? What are the people you're working with in your lunchroom, the people that you work with, the people that you go to school with, the people that you're shopping with? Is there whining and complaining about the long line? Your cart is full of things that you can pay for because you have money to pay for it. Your cart is full, and you're standing in a line, and because there's 10 people in front of you, it's going to take 20 minutes, and I whine and I complain about it. Disregarding that I have the ability to buy a cart full of stuff, I whine about the long line. Are you with me? What must our children think when they hear us complain? Will they reject Christianity and the claims of Christ upon our lives that they heard from your lips? They heard you speak of the goodness of God. They heard you speak of how they should become followers of Christ because it is the way. And your children hear you say that, and then the next breath they hear you whining and complaining about the boss, complaining about the church, complaining about the things, everything that you can think of. In Deuteronomy 1:27, and also in this scripture here, in verse 10 of chapter 11, then Moses heard the people weeping throughout their families and everyone in the door of his tent. That speaks of at home. Deuteronomy 1:27 says, and you complained in your tents and said, because the Lord hates us, he has brought us out of the land of Egypt to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us. There was this complaining that was going on in the tents of the people. I'm asking you this morning, what are your children hearing in your tent? Mothers and fathers, I believe it is so important this morning that your children are hearing you speak positive, are hearing you speak positive of the things around you, and even the things that you don't agree with. You can do it in a right manner. Not whining and complaining. I believe that we become a disgrace to the name of Christ when we sit in the lunchroom and gripe. When we sit at our supper table and we gripe. How do we cure it? This behavior is rooted in our flesh, and we need to see that. We need to know that. That this behavior is rooted in the flesh. And there's only one way to root it out, is deal with the flesh. Stand before the Lord and say, God, I'm a grumbling, complaining, murmuring individual. And I need to be protected by the blood of Jesus. I need to be protected by the blood of Jesus. Resolve to be a thankful person. Thankful people are not murmurers and complainers. Ephesians 5:20 says, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Third, rest in God's providential care and gracious provisions for all the things that you have. Rest in His providential care and the provisions that He has for you and for me. It could be worse, you see. Some years ago, Charles Schulz painted the picture, pictured Charlie Brown bringing out Snoopy's dinner on Thanksgiving Day, but it was just his usual dog food in a bowl. So Snoopy took out a look at the dog food and said, "This isn't fair. The rest of the world today is eating turkey with all the trimmings, and all I get is dog food. Why? Because I'm a dog? All I get is dog food?" He stood there for a while and stared at the dog food for a moment and then said, "I guess it could be worse. I could be the turkey." Are you with me this morning? It could be worse. It could be worse. We have so much to be thankful for, and the only way to deal with a murmuring heart is the antidote of happiness. The antidote of reading positive things, the antidote of hanging around positive people to take care of that murmuring heart. And I believe that God will bless you in ways you will never imagine if you're willing to be a thankful, joyful, grateful person in your conversation. The people around you will enjoy being with you. It's when people get together and they start complaining and oh yeah, you know that, yeah. And after a while you walk away from a situation like that and you know what, you're feeling bad, they're feeling bad, nobody's feeling good. The way to deal with a murmuring heart is to speak some joy. Is to speak some joy. Friend, do you have a reputation of whining, grumbling, complaining, murmuring? Do you have a reputation of that? And I'll leave you with that question to wrestle with God. But let's be people. Let's be people at New Covenant and in the places we go that the world will know. Yeah, these people have been with Jesus. It shows on their faces. It shows on their faces. What do we have to complain about? We got the whole of heaven to look forward to. Our King, our God, our Father owns everything. If you think this morning you need more stuff and things and money and all those kinds of things, don't worry about it. You are a child of the King. You are a child of the one who owns everything. And if He wants to give it to you, He can give it to you. If He doesn't, thank Him anyway. Even if, as Daniel said, when he was thrown in the lion's den, even if God doesn't deliver me, even if. Are you there this morning? Are you with me? Father, we thank you this morning for your goodness. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity we have to look into your word. Thank you, Father, for the scriptures that you have given us. Thank you, Lord, so much for your indwelling Holy Spirit that is able to change our hearts from the inside out. Lord, if there is a murmuring heart here this morning that needs changing, Father, I pray that you would help to minister the antidote that is needed for that heart to be fixed. Lord, we know that you are able to, and we come to you, Father, and we recognize that in this world that we live in, and there's things that we experience that are not pleasant, and I'm not downplaying that for one moment. Lord, I pray that in those times, we would find the grace to be grateful. Because I believe, Lord, that is your desire, it's your heart for us, and that we would be able to show the world that we truly have something to live for. We truly have something to live for. So, Father, we give ourselves to you as we go out from this place, as we interact with the world, as we interact with all the people that we come in touch with in a week's time. Lord, I pray that you would guide us, that you would lead us. And if there are those relationships that we have become involved in that are rubbing off on us and the stench is on our being, Lord, I pray that you would show us how to function with those relationships or what to do with them, how to go forward. So, Father, we give you all the praise and the honor and the glory today. In Jesus' name, amen. The chorister would come and lead us in a closing song, and then you're dismissed after that.